Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the show the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. And for a long, long time, he's been stopping by on the program on the first Wednesday, and we talk about cooking. And we started this up a long time ago. Back in the day, in the early days of Focus 580, our phone system was not set up so that we could have guests by phone. We do that all the time. But in those days, we couldn't have guests on by phone. We had to have somebody in the studio. And we were always scrambling around for ideas. And Celeste Quinn, my dear colleague, said, well, why don't you do a cooking show? And we were a little bit skeptical, but we thought, well, okay. And then we asked around, and Grace Babakanian, one of our music staff, done a lot of arts programming here in the community, she knew Doyle, and she said, okay, this is the guy you need to get. We called him, and he said, well, all right, we'll give it a try. And now, 30 years later, we're still doing it. And he stops by here the first Wednesday of every month, and we pick some topic. He picks some topic, and we talk about that. And sometimes we exchange stories, and sometimes we exchange recipes, and we always have a lot of fun on the show. And this time around, he said, well, we're in a holiday period here. Some people are celebrating holidays, and it seems that almost, you know, no matter who you are, no matter what tradition you're from, holidays are associated with treats. It's a special time of year, and often a lot of people, they have something that they only make at that time. It's very special. It's associated with that time. And so maybe you have a good holiday, some kind of holiday baked good. Maybe it doesn't even have to be associated with a holiday. If you just think it's a good thing, a good sweet kind of a treat, maybe you could give us a call and share the recipe with us. So that's it, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line. It's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. Well, thanks very much
for
being here.
Yes, indeed.
We appreciate that. And one thing I want to make sure that we do is to say thanks to all of the folks who tuned in and who called in with pledges of support to WYLL-TV. The other night, on Monday night, when we did our program, C is for Crockpot, we had lots and lots of fun in the studio, and we got a great show of support for WYLL-TV, and so for all those people, we want to say thanks. And I do also want to mention that if you did not see the program and you'd like to see it, it will be repeated.
Oh.
We recorded it.
I can go home and watch it.
You can go home and watch it on Saturday starting at noon.
Oh, great.
WILL-TV.
I didn't know
that.
So
if you didn't get a chance to see it, it'll be on again. So
good.
Well, glad to have you here once again.
Yes.
So now, was there something? I always ask the same question. So, Mr. Bowens, what was it that started you thinking about this particular thing?
Well, on Christmas Eve, I'm going to have a group of people over after church, and I was looking around, and I thought, well, I can make many of these things. Some of them are savory, but they are little baked items. And I thought, we haven't really dealt with that. We always like to do a fruit cake. Anyone's got a good fruit cake? I don't care. And you know what? There are some people who are making a fruit cake for the first time this year. I got some reports from some of my friends like, I'm going to make a fruit cake this year. Good. I didn't bring my fruit cake recipe today, but nevertheless, we can talk about those. And wanted to talk about some of the little things that are being baked, and I have a recipe that we'll talk about a little later. It's just that the whole thing is now that winter's here, you know, you sort of close down and you want to get to cooking.
Yeah.
And so that was what was in my mind. But it is exact. You're exactly right. It's what was it that was coming by this week, you know? So, oh, that's what I'm going to do. Yes, let's talk about that.
All right. Well, we already have some folks ready to go. And
good
I believe
deal.
That we'll start with somebody on line number two right here. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I wanted to call in and tell you that I already made the dump and run cake.
Oh, my.
And I'm one of those people that never saw a recipe she didn't want to alter.
Yes.
I didn't have any pears, but I had some home-canned apples from a friend, and she does everything without sugar. They were just, like, naturally kind of
sweet. Yes.
So I used about half a quart because it said 2 cans, so I figured that was about 3 cups.
That's a very good solution. Applesauce is what was first in recipes like this. I mean, a long time ago, in order to cut down one thing and build up another, keep the moisture in, applesauce, and not only applesauce, really, but Gerber's, you know, baby food was used. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was very funny. You'd put applesauce into a cake. Well, boy, I chunked up those 2 apples in my cake. And there's another recipe that has two cups of grated carrots. And I realize it adds a texture to it. And there's a cake that just blows my mind because it's made with sauerkraut. And you could not tell that it had sauerkraut in it. The sauerkraut becomes a texture. So a lot of those things would work, and you were very smart in choosing apples.
Okay, well, I'm not done with my alterations. I thought cherries and almond, this wants to be chocolate.
Yes.
So I put in devil's food. And
good.
Except that it was extremely sweet, but the cherry pie filling was very sweet.
Oh, that's pie filling, yeah.
It worked great with chocolate, and then to cut the sweetness, I served it with plain yogurt.
Oh, my,
and
that's
I
good.
Took it to a writing group I'm in
yes.
Tuesday night, and everybody loved it.
And you had to give it a new name, didn't you?
Well, no.
You just thought it up.
It's called a crockpot cake.
You just thought it up.
It's kind of like, Black Forest cherry cake imitation.
Right. Well, yes, to a degree. To a degree it is.
When you put the chocolate in.
Yeah. That's good. That's
so
very, very good. Well, I'm glad you were listening and paying attention.
Yeah, well, I just was able to catch the last hour of the show, but I wanted to tell you about that. And
oh,
that it
good.
Really well with chocolate. And I have a traditional Swiss cookie recipe that I make, but I'm not at home, so I can't. I could just tell you it's got butter, sugar, eggs, and flour. That's all it's got in it. But it's basically a butter cookie, but it's hard. And we always used to hang it on the tree. We would make
are these
the
like Springerlies?
No, they're not at all like Springerlies.
Oh, they're not.
Springerly has anise.
Oh, all right.
That's got a licorice taste.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
We made those too, but
butter, sugar, eggs, and flour.
Yeah, but I can call into the station later and give the proportions if you're interested.
Well, if you would like to do that, you could do that, or if you want to write it up and send it to us, we can put it on our website.
Okay.
Because I expect we probably this morning will have some other recipes. I hope people will call and give us recipes. So we'll have them on the website. So if you want to do that, we can put it on that way.
Sure.
Okay. It's called Mailanderli, which Mailand is the name for Milano in Swiss German. And the the ER means a person. So it would be a person from Milan.
From Milan.
And
oh, yes.
The Li is the diminutive.
Oh,
so it's
yes.
A little person from Milan. But they're the cookies that always, that was Christmas when we had the Mailander we made, then Christmas could come.
That's good. Isn't that good to have a tradition like that?
Yeah, I've been a little lax of late, but.
Well, let's get back into it.
All right. Well, I'll either call it in or send it in. I'm not too good about email, but I'll see what I can do.
Sure. Either way.
All right.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Very good. And the caller was talking about one the other night on the crockpot thing. We actually did 2 crockpot desserts. You did one to start, and then later on in the program. Okay, I don't know what's going on here with that. That's. Do that there. Then later in the program, we had another one, and I think that she was talking about
the second one with the fruit.
That's
pie,
right.
Pie
it
filling.
Had cherry pie
yeah.
filling.
That
and
was
a
really
yellow
kind
cake
of,
mix
that was kind
and,
of a layered cake.
Yeah,
that the cake would sop on down through the filling and thicken out. Yeah,
and it came in both of these though. They came out with a really nice light. Kind of fluffy texture,
well,
they very
cook for
moist.
A long time, slowly,
yeah,
and in a very moist attitude,
yeah,
atmosphere.
Although one thing that was interesting, I think, about the second recipe was she said it's very important that what she did was once she got everything in the crock pot, then she put a paper towel on.
Oh yes,
and then put the lid on so that then the condensation didn't drip down and make it all wet on top of the cake.
Which I must admit mine does. I had a lot of water around the outside of my pot. I was surprised at that. I thought, I don't have any water over here. Oh, yes, you do. So that's a good thing to remember.
Yeah. So at all, I suppose it also depends on just what, you know, what it is that you want. Because I think on yours, I'm not sure it would be as much of an issue, because it was very kind of dense and
moist,
pudding-like, yeah. Almost. Okay.
Guess what I had for breakfast yesterday morning?
That?
Yes,
Black
I did.
Forest.
I came down. I had some left in the dish. I said, I believe that's my breakfast.
All right. This morning, it's our monthly show on cooking. We do it the first Wednesday of the month and have for a long, long time with this fellow we like to call our chef in residence. It's purely an honorary title, ladies and gentlemen. Doyle Moore is his name, and he stops by here. We talk about cooking, and this time around, we are in a holiday period. Some people, not everybody, some people are celebrating holidays, and a lot of people, as part of their holiday traditions, have foods, and particularly sweets, that may indeed only happen one time of the year. So maybe you got a recipe to share with us. Give us a call. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Here's a caller in Champaign. Line one. Hello.
Hello. Yeah. I can top your cake for breakfast and raise you two giant cookies.
Uh-oh. Good for you.
I always make these monster cookies, they're called. And, of course, you probably know the recipe with the M&Ms and the chocolate chips.
No, I don't make them.
Oh, they're awesome.
Are they?
Yeah. And I have a big KitchenAid mixer. And
yeah.
When I mix the wet ingredients, it fills it right to the brim.
Oh, so my.
You put your oatmeal and your M&Ms and your chocolate chips in the biggest Tupperware bowl you can buy. And then you mix it all up by hand. And you end
wow.
up with about five dozen giant cookies.
Man,
I just
that's, a lot of,
ice cream.
That's a lot of cookies.
They're fabulous. And you can cut the recipe in half or in fourths.
And have half monster cookies.
Yeah. But I make them at Christmas because all the teachers at Stratton Elementary now just love to get a bag of cookies.
Oh, good.
So I've been making three or four batches, full batches of these for the last 4 years or so. And now I have an older kid in middle school, and I'm going to have to make more because now the children expect to take these giant cookies to school.
Oh, good. Good for you.
So it's fun. It starts off with a dozen eggs.
One.
4 cups of granulated sugar, 2 pounds of brown sugar, 1 pound of butter, 3 pounds of peanut butter, 8 teaspoons of baking soda, 1 tablespoon of corn syrup. We've got 1 tablespoon of vanilla, and then you mix all that up in the order given, and it's a lot. And then you have 18 cups of quick oatmeal.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And
eight,
then a pound,
18 cups.
Cups. Yeah. A pound of M&Ms and 1 pound of chocolate chips. And then you work on your muscles.
I guess you do.
And you mix and you mix and you mix. But I like to.
Well, now when you spread that out to bake them, how big are they?
It's about 1/3 of a cup of dough when you drop it from the ice cream scoop, and you flatten slightly, and then they bake. They bake really nicely. It takes about 15 minutes at 350 degrees.
Yeah.
But, they turn out really, really well. And I like to eat them for breakfast because, of course, they have peanut butter and oatmeal. So
and oatmeal.
Good for you.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Uh-huh. Good for you, she says.
It's also good for people who have celiac because there's no flour.
Oh, there isn't any flour. No, it was. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Well, I'll make a note of that because there's some people asking for that kind of cooking.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. Do you have an industrial strength mixer to do this?
Well,
I guess
like I say, I mix the wet ingredients in my nice KitchenAid mixer. So.
Then you have to do. Oh man.
I mix the oatmeal and the M&Ms and chocolate chips by hand.
By hand.
And
that's a workout.
Then you muscle.
Yes. And so I get to have a cookie as a reward. And a little hint: if you microwave it for about 12 seconds, it's perfect.
Oh,
a little squishy.
Oh, right. Good.
Just warm it up a little bit before serving. Well, that's great.
They're lovely.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Monster cookies.
Well, thanks very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And again, we should be very happy to have any recipes that people might have for some kind of special sweet treat, particularly if it's something that because some people celebrate holidays this time of the year. It can be the kind of thing when maybe that's the only time of the year that you're going to make it. And that maybe that also makes it special too, that thing appears, you know that this is now is the time. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Is there anything? Did you bring along some particulars?
I did indeed. I wasn't going to do a suite, but I am. I'm going to have some people on Christmas Eve, and I wanted to make something that would go with champagne. since we did that the other night, and I wanted to make those little crackers that are made out of Parmesan cheese, and it is so simple. And of course, Giada De Laurentiis is the one that did them on television. It is so simple. A cup of shredded Parmesan. Now, you can shred your own or you can get it shredded, but you don't want grated. You want those little pine needles of
right.
Parmesan.
Okay.
And 2 tablespoons of shredded basil leaves. This is all dry. And 1/2 tablespoon of grated lemon zest. So you've got lemon and basil and a good Parmesan cheese, which it would be good enough just to eat, by itself. So then these are mixed up, and there's no liquid to hold them together. So they're kind of a loose, strange mass of about a tablespoon apiece. But they're cooked in a 400-degree oven, and you probably want to use a silicone pad, because they spread out and they become very lacy-like and brown and crisp. And I haven't made them yet, but I'm going to, and I've chosen to do these because they look so good when they were being eaten, little crispy, crunchy lace cookies, lace savory cookies. So it is that easy.
There's only this three ingredients.
Three ingredients. A cup of shredded Parmesan, 2 tablespoons of shredded basil leaves, and 1/2 tablespoon of grated lemon zest.
So it is that.
No
the,
liquid.
The Parmesan melts.
Parmesan melts, holds it.
And
then it dries out quickly, and it only takes something like 3 to 5 minutes to cook them. I mean, I'm fascinated.
It sounds like it would be really good,
especially if you're in a hurry.
Oh yeah, all right.
Yeah, I have had something like it. I've watched it being made before, but I thought, oh, this is exactly what I want for Christmas.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe we should say, also if you're doing some entertaining and you're making a little.
I have another one in my mind that I'm going to. I've been working on
thing.
A couple of these. I've got another in my mind to
All
do.
Right. Well, let's talk with somebody else here. We have a number of other callers. In Urbana, where we are, line number 1. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Every Christmas, we visit Omaha area over the holidays, and this year we won't be able to, but there is a Lithuanian bakery there that makes an out-of-this-world Napoleon tort.
Yes.
And I've been told that it's a painstaking process, but I'm up for the challenge if anybody has a recipe.
A Napoleon tort.
Yes. It's has like many, many layers.
Lots of layers.
With buttercream.
Yes.
Maybe a hint of apricot in it, but that's about, I don't know. You can get them in different sizes.
And this is Lithuanian?
I don't know if it's a traditional Lithuanian dessert or not, but the bakery that, we've got it from in the past for my family,
yes,
is a Lithuanian bakery.
Well, that sounds like something that would be for, or if not that, that Austro-Hungarian taste. Napoleons are much like that. I wonder if it has any cream filling.
Yes, I think buttercream.
A buttercream, yes.
Vanilla buttercream. It's almost like a pudding. And it just kind of all blends together. The wafers, they're not dry, but it's not real. It's not cakey though either.
So it is a tort.
It's kind of, yeah, it's a tort. So if any of the listeners
maybe someone will have it. Yes. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Someone was listening over in Indiana and was hearing our discussion of the crockpot cake recipe. the one that we were talking about, both of these were from this television program that we did the other night as a fundraiser for our television station, WILL-TV. And there is a book, a crockpot cookbook that we put together with recipes that people sent in. Now, the recipes are in that book. We don't have that here. Can you do from memory
I think I can tell you right straight down the line. I'll get it in order. One box of moist cake mix, and I checked with sister, and she likes Duncan Hines, and I decided I did too from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Duncan Hines extra moist chocolate cake mix. One package of Jell-O, non-fat, non-sweetened chocolate, instant chocolate pudding. It's a weird material, but what it does is it adds a lot of bulk to the cake. And then to that, one cup of water, and 3/4 cup of oil, vegetable oil, and 2 grated apples and 4 eggs. I beat them in one at a time, except on the camera, I beat all 4 of them in at once in order to cut down on time. I was learning from Emeril what to do. And then as soon as all that's mixed up, toss in a cup of dried cherries and a cup of chocolate chips and one cup of sour cream. And then I put a quarter of a cup of bourbon in it and mix all that up. You really have to mix thoroughly so it's well combined, and bake it for, or put it in the crock pot that you have put Pam in, so that it won't stick, and bake that at low temperature for 6 hours.
Okay.
So, I did remember it.
Very good. So we can add that to the recipes on the website. Go to will.illinois.edu, that's our webpage. And then if you go to AM and then go to Focus 580 and go to links, we now have a lot of recipes here on the site going back at least to, I don't know how far back we go here, several years. We've had a volunteer who had very graciously, and she's here right now, as a matter of fact, graciously transcribed recipes so that we have them on the website. So if you've listened to some of the past shows and you'd like to get the recipes, you can go there, and we'll have some from this show on there, I'm sure. So we'll get this one on there. And I expect probably also if you're looking for crockpot cake recipes, if you go on the web or you go down to the library or go down to the bookstore, I'm expecting that you will find, particularly now that people are getting so much crockpot cookery, I'm expected there should be a lot of recipes around. Let us talk with somebody else, and that would be a line number, I don't know what. How about Urbana, line number 1? Hello.
Okay, I have a recipe for the Napoleones.
Oh, good.
And you got some time, I hope.
Sure.
Okay. You start out cutting 1 pound of butter into 4 cups of flour.
Put 4 cups of flour, yes.
Then you add stir in 1 pint of sour cream and an egg.
Sour cream and an egg.
Okay, this is day one.
How many days does it take?
Okay.
Well, you can do it all in one day.
And then you just let it sit?
No. You roll that out as thin as you possibly can.
Oh, okay. Then you mix it.
And you cut dinner plate-sized wafers out of it, and it should make 15 to 20 wafers.
Okay.
And you bake those at 350 for 4 or 5 minutes.
350. Mm-hmm.
For each one. You can probably get 2 on a cookie sheet, a big cookie sheet.
All right.
So you keep doing that. If they break, That's okay. If they really crumble to pieces, save the pieces and use it for the topping.
Yes, okay. You can patch with that, yes.
Yeah. Okay, that usually takes about the afternoon.
Okay.
Because you...
Day one, yes.
Yeah, okay, that makes 15 to 20 wafers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the filling, take two packages of vanilla pudding.
Two packages of vanilla.
And that's the 2-cup size. You know, the one, there's the smaller one that uses 2 cups of milk, and then the bigger one that uses 3 cups of milk. Well, this is the 2 cups of milk size.
The 2-cup of milk size, all right.
And it not instant.
Not instant, yes.
Yeah, and you make the pudding, and you cream, meanwhile the pudding is cooking, you cream, let me read you the ingredient
yes.
list. Okay, 2 packages of vanilla pudding, powdered sugar to taste,
mm-hmm.
4 egg yolks.
4 egg yolks.
A half to 3/4 of the amount of milk. Required to cook the 2 packages, so you
half of the milk.
Yeah,
okay.
You use it. You make it thick, and 2 teaspoons of vanilla extract or rum.
2 teaspoons, yes.
The juice of 1 lemon.
Lemon, my goodness.
And 1/2 pound of butter.
Soft.
Yeah, yeah, and some tangy preserves like. Apricot or lingonberry.
Good, yes. Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. Now, cream the butter. Make the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And cool it. Add the egg yolks to the pudding.
Now, let's see. How many egg yolks? We had
4
Oh,
egg
we
yolks.
Had 4 egg yolks, yes.
Slowly add this to the creamed butter.
Okay.
And add the sugar, vanilla, and or rum.
So then this is going to be a nice big cream.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, on a flat plate, cake plate, place 1 wafer.
Mm-hmm.
And the cake plate has to be flat or the wafers will break. Spread about 1 tablespoon of cream filling to the edges.
A tablespoon?
Yeah. Well, see, you got your 20 wafers.
You got 20, yes, 20 wafers. A tablespoon spread, yes.
Okay. Put another wafer on top.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry if they become warped.
Mm-hmm.
Take something wide and flat, like a piece of corrugated cardboard or large cookie sheet, and press down evenly on the second wafer to rid the tort of air pockets.
Oh, yes.
Don't worry if the wafers crack. Spread the cream layer on the wafer, add a wafer, and then press down. Continue until the tort is done. Every 3rd or 4th layer, spread the preserves instead of the buttercream.
Okay, and then the preserves?
Yeah, you use a tangy
one. On every
one.
3.
Yeah.
Okay.
And... if not many of your...
Now, you're just going to pile this all up, all 20 of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a big, okay, yes.
Save the last, if not many or none of your wafers crumbled while baking, save the last wafer and smash it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking down from the tort, looking down at the tort from above, cut off any irregularities on the wafer edges.
Yes.
To make your tort more compact. Add the crumbs to your collection. Frost the sides and the top of the tort with a buttercream, using it to fill any cavities.
Oh, wow.
And to make the shape more conventional. Sprinkle the top and sides of the tort with the wafer crumbs.
With the crumbs, mm-hmm.
And refrigerate.
Wow.
And this is delicious. This is the recipe of the late... Sylvia Sparkus, and it's from Chicago. She was a first-generation Chicago.
Oh, wow.
If you would like her name spelled for you.
Yes, please.
Silvija.
I-J-A.
S-P-A-R-K-I-S.
R-K-I-S. Sylvia Sparkus.
Yeah, and this was the main event at a lot of folk dance potlucks in the 70s.
Oh, goodness, yes, yes. Yes. Well, I'm sure our listeners are going to be very happy to get this.
Yeah.
Because this sounds real.
Yeah. She was an excellent cook. And I'm reading from a folk dance cookbook that we produced in the 70s.
Now, what is the name of this tort?
It is N-A-P-O-L-E-O-N-A-S.
Napoleonis.
Napoleonis.
Napoleonis. Okay. That sounds like what we ask for.
Yeah, that's the Chicago recipe may be different from the Omaha recipe, but...
I bet it's not a lot.
probably not much. And this is superb.
Oh, I'm glad. Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Bye.
Now, maybe if the caller who called in for
ask
the recipe,
and you will receive.
If it works out, give us a call next time we're here and tell us how you managed to make out with that. I guess I would not have thought about making each of these thin layers as a separate layer. I thought you would have to bake cakes and then cut them long way into in slices, but, like if you were making a layer cake.
But Napoleons, you know, are funny little thin layers, and I never have made one. Well, now I've got a recipe.
All right.
That's good. Napoleonis.
A little bit past our midpoint here. This is our monthly program on cooking. We've been doing it for a long, long time on the first Wednesday with the men we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, picking some topic and having a good time talking about that, sometimes telling stories and exchanging tips and exchanging recipes. And this time around, as we are, some people are celebrating holidays this time of year. He said, well, maybe there's some holiday sweet, something that is baked in the oven. So that, I guess that was the idea,
holiday baking, some
baked item that was a treat. And maybe it was something that only gets made at this time of the year. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And I think we have another caller here, line number two. I think it is Urbana, I think. Hello.
Hello, Champaign.
Oh, Champaign. All right, great. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say about the Parmesan crisps.
Yes.
I have made those. I found a recipe for, it's so easy, it's hardly a recipe. But
isn't that embarrassing? Three lines, yes.
I know, and I found directions for these on a food blog out of Chicago, and so I think it was about this time last year.
Yes.
And so I made, and you know, this one, now giadas sound really great. I'll have to try that, but this was simply the cheese.
Just cheese only. That's the way I had remembered it. They just in fact, they picked it up with their fingers and dropped it down.
And so, and then...
But did you like them?
Oh, I loved them. I used the microplane zester grater.
Oh, yes, of course.
For the cheese, and that...
It produced like these
filaments of...
Oh, it would be, yes.
And then, actually I packed it into a little... maybe it was a little quarter cup... I packed into a little tablespoon... Just a tablespoon measure, and heaped it up a little bit, and then just dropped that onto. And I used I don't have the silicone mat, so I just used parchment paper, and it
parchment paper would be fine. Yes,
I actually, I cooked them about 5 minutes, and I was a little worried, because I said they're not going to leave that paper.
You're right.
I put a little, thin spatula under, and they came right off just like nothing, and just crunchy and with champagne. Oh yes.
Well, then I guessed right. I haven't made these yet, but I'm looking forward to it. And they just sound so good, and they sound so direct. I really like the idea that they're very direct.
Yeah.
And it's just the magic of cooking, that the cheese melts to the right consistency and cools off in the same authority. And so I'm looking forward to this. Good.
I think it's a great little alternative to, just hunks of cheese.
Hunks of cheese and a cracker, yeah.
And it's so easy compared to, say, making cheese straws or something like that.
You see, I was thinking about cheese straws. I had a friend from Baton Rouge who was very famous for making her cheese straws. And I thought, oh, I'd like to, but oh, no, I really don't want to do all that.
So this
pleases me because if it's going to take only 5 minutes a piece to cook them and you get them all put together, then that'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for inspiring me even more.
Well, yeah, thank you. I'm going to have to look up the De Laurentiis version and try that now. So
that would have been, a couple of weeks ago?
Okay.
It might be, yeah. She calls them Parmesan, basil, and lemon wafers, and with a parenthesis, frico, F-R-I-C-O.
Oh,
parenthesis. Frico. That's another name.
Okay,
so that may
great.
Might help you find them.
I should be able to find those on the Food Network site. Really.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That'll do it. Thank you.
All right,
oh,
thanks.
Boy.
Well, now
I can hardly wait to get started because somebody says it's all right to do it.
Well, now I've gone looking, and apparently there are different variations of this. Everything from, as the caller said, just Parmesan cheese,
yes.
That's all, to ones that have various kinds of herbs in them. There apparently I found one here that actually has some flour in it.
Oh, yes.
So I guess that this is the kind of thing where you could push it in a number of directions. If you just wanted that pure Parmesan flavor, well, all you got to do is put it on there.
My reason for kind of going on that one was that the cheese wants to work just right, and it makes a structure, and it works. There's another one that I want to try, and let's see, I can't remember the cheese that it is, but a different cheese wants a little moisture in it. And so there are some that have different, but this is the one I jumped to.
Yeah, the one that I was looking at here that have for example, that have the flour, it's only a really tiny bit of flour. For example, here's a recipe that came out of Gourmet magazine in 2003, and it uses a cup and a half of cheese and only a tablespoon
of
flour. So it's just it's not very much flour, but it has a little flour in there as an ingredient. And apparently, yes, if you like herbs in there, put herbs in there. If you would just have the pure cheese flavor, that's fine. It's the kind of thing where apparently you can tweak it in different ways,
yes,
depending on what it is that you want.
And I think that they may come from different regions, I will say that, rather than traditions, different regions, because, for example, in Italy, you don't get Parmesan everywhere. You get the local cheese.
Right.
And I'm sure that there are various versions of these things that exist. So, great.
And here's a recipe. Apparently, they for these kinds of things, Parmesan crisps. And here it says that perhaps you can also use Asiago or Montazio cheese. So I guess some other kinds of cheese will work for this too. And here they have some variations. Here's one that has rosemary in it. Here's one that has cumin in it. There's one that has the tops sprinkled with a little bit of chopped nuts on top.
Huh.
So I guess it's the kind of thing where there are many ways to vary it.
I think I'll vary it down to one.
Well, if that's then the other thing is that, you know, if you've got something that you like and that works for you, don't mess around with it.
You're right. Make
it. Also, and I think maybe this is, we had a call back from the caller who gave us the recipe for Napoleons.
Yes.
There's one thing here that may be indeed an important and helpful step, which maybe we didn't get mentioned, is that once you have the dough made up, you want to chill it before you roll it out.
Oh, chill it.
Chill it either. you can put it in a few hours in the refrigerator or for 1 hour in the freezer before rolling. And I'm sure that makes it a lot easier to get it rolled out.
Well, let's see, what are we using? We're using butter and flour and egg. There's a little moisture in it. It'll soak into the flour and make it more pliable.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
It's because you do that with crusts a lot.
Right.
Okay. Oh, good. I hadn't thought of catching that. That's good. Good. Thank you.
All right. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers to call. If you'd like to call in, we have about 10 minutes left.
Goodness.
And we're talking about holiday baking or maybe various kinds of treats for the holiday.
Well, I've got another treat.
Okay, let's have it.
And I haven't made it yet either. I'm full of let's get out there and try new things. I had someone made these. I wasn't near the person who made them, so I don't know what they are, but I'm trying to take what I got, and I'm going to try to make my version of it. I believe that it starts with sheets of phyllo dough, and my feeling is the sheets would be about, well, maybe they aren't 6 inches square, but it seemed like to make what I want to do, it would take about that. And I think maybe only about 3 sheets. And so I'm going to butter each sheet, lay it down. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to put a tiny bit, about a thumb's worth, maybe that's too much, of cream cheese and a walnut half. And I'm going to pour honey over that and then try to fold this up. I've got to invent the way to fold it up and sort of, it's like a little surprise packet, a little treasure pack,
kind of
a little purse
thing,
yeah. It okay. is now all of these that I saw had leaned over to the side, and I don't know if that came from baking it or not, and also I don't know if they were really baked because they looked very white, but they were crisp, and I can't think that you just dry them out. I have to do a little experimenting, but I think that I will want them to have a little bit of brown, so I might sprinkle spread some butter on top of that. But a bite, I mean, it is so ancient Roman. I can't stand it. A walnut and a cheese and honey, and a little flake of bread. I thought that'd be a neat thing. That's with the other glass of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to get busy and try to work on that. Or if somebody happens to know that, I'd be happy to know how to correct what I have in my mind. So.
Okay. I don't know. Sometime maybe if we're at a party time of year, maybe we could do a whole show just based around things like that.
Well, that's...
Little good savory
things,
crunchy
yes.
things. You
I'm
know,
for that.
Appetizer, amuse-bouche kind of things.
Oh, I said, good for you.
Thank you very much. I have been to college. I really didn't pay very much attention, but I was there for several years. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455 are the numbers. Maybe you have a recipe you'd like to contribute. And then, we'll try and round these things up as we have and get them onto our website. Indiana, Montezuma, Indiana. Here we have a call, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I really enjoy this program, although I'm a very inept cook.
Oh, no.
I have a question. Recently, I got a flyer from Rodale Press for a crock pot cookbook. It's called Not Your Mother's Crock Pot.
Oh, yes.
I wondered whether Mr. Moore had seen this and whether he had any opinion about the recipe.
No, I haven't seen it, but it sounds like exactly what the intention of our program was, and that is, it is not just a toss in and walk away kind of attitude. That there is a technique, and they've developed techniques for cooking in a crock pot, and there are simple things like starting them on one heat and going for a period of time, and then changing it to another heat. Another thing is that the layering of certain objects in order, so that they're cooking on the bottom near the heat faster than they are cooking farther up. So combinations like that. I believe one of the attitudes is that always layer the onions on the bottom. Don't toss them in at the top. Things like that would be my guess that of it's not your mother's crock pot would be what they're stressing. Plus new combinations of things that seem to just sort of cry out for slow cooking. Also, slow cooking is another new attitude in deference to fast foods. There are a lot of people who don't want who psychologically don't want the idea of do it as fast as you can. It's let's do it as good as you can, and that may be a matter of slowing down. So the slow cooker has been around, and people have sort of adapted themselves to it. So I have an idea. This has got a lot of really good new information.
We have this book in our house, and
oh,
I have
do.
Cooked from it, and I think that there are a lot of good recipes, and I also think that there's a lot of good information there on technique,
it is,
on how how you do it to make sure that it comes out right. So if you, you know, read the beginning sections, which is all about the sort of the principle and the how it works and what you want to do, and so then you'll get set up, then you'll go on to the recipes. And, you know, it's not, this is not hard. You don't have to be
turn me into an emerald.
If you start making, you know, those and they come out really well, then you might say to yourself, well, I can do this, and then you'll, you know, want to go on to do something else. But certainly it's not, I think that's one of the beauties of the crockpot cookery, is that it's just not complicated. There's nothing complicated about it. It's just chopping stuff up. Sometimes you might, you know, need to do a little browning before you put it in, but pretty much it's just chopping stuff up and putting it in the order that they say, and then turning it on, and then, you know, 7 hours later and you come back and it's there and it's done, and it's, you know, it's beauty deal, really. So I would say try it out.
I will. On topic, I am in a car, so I can't give you the recipe, but I have a really great traditional persimmon pudding recipe.
Ooh.
I don't know if you get persimmons over there in Illinois or not.
Well, no, I go to Indiana to get them.
You do? Have you got yours for this year?
Yes, somebody brought me some persimmon puree, yes.
Well, one thing I don't know that you're probably aware of the fact that if you want a really great persimmon pudding, you have to put baking soda in to stop them from discoloring. If you use baking without baking soda, you get kind of a grayish brown.
Yes.
But with the baking soda, it comes out a nice orange persimmon color.
Baking soda.
If you need the recipe, I'll send it along to you, but I don't have it with me, of course, in my head.
Okay, well, do that. Send it to the station here. And
I'll do that.
And they'll know what to do with it. Thank you very much.
That'd be great. Thank you very much.
Oh, persimmon pudding is so special at this time of the year.
You were the guy who had the secret persimmon hunting spot, weren't you? Or am I thinking?
Oh yes,
of something?
I did.
Yeah,
on the campus.
Yeah,
and they're still there, I think.
Really?
Five trees.
We won't tell anybody that.
Oh, I'll tell anybody. I mean, come on. There's enough persimmons dropping down. It's out the south door of the library, and you're heading toward the back door of the architecture, the old architecture building. There are five trees in that first area, and they'll be dropping their persimmons as soon as we have a good frost.
And that is the deal that you want. That's the thing you're waiting for, is when you have a frost.
A lot of people kick them out from under their feet. Well, you can't get them any other way. You have to reach down and pick them up.
Yeah.
And they want to be soft, and they want to be dropped down. Those were called possum persimmons. And they're a little tiny, and they're the native persimmon.
Okay.
Sure, share them.
We want to try to get one more caller here, Vermilion County, line number 4. Hello?
Hi. Well, it may be too late in the program, but I'm wondering if anyone has suggestions for things that aren't quite so high in fat besides carrots and dip and hummus.
That's a good idea. You mean for things like dips and spreads?
Yeah, to go with the champagne.
With champagne.
Little goodies to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of the other thing. Oh, dear, I'm doing two things with meat. I'm doing two pâtés. And cheese is awful. Chocolate. Chocolate is good with champagne. Just chunks of chocolate. But cheese, not too much in fat.
I'm not saying fat free, but you know.
I know. What you want is cut back on that.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Anyway, think of it. Maybe somebody.
I will have to think of that. That'll be a good idea.
Thank you.
There would be some good vegetable purees. Various vegetable purees. I should think maybe carrots would work. Pureed carrots and pureed parsnips would be a good dip. Parsnips, but then I want to put cream in them. But I guess you could use the imitation half and half. Pureed parsnips would be a good vegetable dip. And I should think green peas. Green peas and green beans. You can get them frozen, fresh, or you can use them fresh or frozen, and chop them up, and maybe a vegetarian broth, and to thin it down just a little bit and make a puree. I should think vegetable purees would be the way to go.
Mm.
That would help a lot. She was thinking of hummus, and that is exactly what the basis of it is a vegetable puree.
Sounds like it could be a show here. I don't know. Next time, it will already be after New Year's when we do this again. So I don't know if anybody will be having parties between then and Valentine's Day.
I'm
going to
have my birthday party after the first of the year.
Oh, well, okay then.
We'll see about that.
Here's someone who wants to join in here on line number one.
Oh, good.
Hello.
Hello. Somebody was asking for low-fat
stuff.
There is an incredibly delicious pumpkin dip that I do not know the recipe for.
Ooh.
You'll have to get it from somebody at the Anita Purvis Nature Center. It was served at the artist's reception a couple of weeks ago. But it's pureed pumpkin, pumpkin pie spice, and cream cheese, and you can use low-fat
cream cheese. Oh, that's very good
and
idea.
It's very, very good. It's just that I don't know the proportions. I tried doing it, and it didn't come out quite right. But it's wonderful with apple wedges.
And it's at the Anita Purvis...
there. It was served there.
Somebody there will help you.
Miller has the recipe.
Yes. Yes, that's good. Thank you very much.
Although she said, I think she may have said it was Tim Bartlett's recipe.
Well,
but somebody there can get, I want to get the recipe. I don't actually have it. I tried it myself and it didn't work quite right.
Well, that is the magic of cooking.
It's a matter of getting the proportions. But basically, it's pumpkin puree, low-fat cream cheese, and pumpkin pie spices.
Okay.
And I suspect a little lemon juice in there helps.
Okay, that would thin it out good, yes. Well, thank you.
Well, we appreciate the tip.
A pumpkin dip.
We have the makings of a show here.
Yeah.
Maybe we can think about that and come back and try it again. But in the meantime, we want to say thanks to everybody who called in with their recipes. Indeed, we will have these on our – we'll get them on our website. We'll get them as on there as soon as we can. And if you go to will.illinois.edu, you'll get there to our website. And if you go to – click on AM, click on Focus 580, click on links, then you will find a collection of recipes from past shows that we have done with Doyle.
Not quite 30 years, but a lot of them.
Not quite a lot of them.
We haven't had computers that long.
That's true. In the old days, we just wrote them down on a piece of paper. And you will be here in January?
I think so.
Yeah, okay.
It'll
probably be, I don't know, maybe the third or fourth or something like that.
Yeah, I'll be back. I think I'll come back for New Year's Eve.
All right. Doyle Moore has been doing this with us for a long time. We certainly appreciate it.